If you have your copy of God's Word, find your place in Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. We continue to consider these days the important theme and prayer, revive us again. We continue today by thinking about the importance of prayer and personal revival and also corporate revival. As I've asked this church to do, I'm asking you again today that you would join me in praying daily for revival, for First Baptist Church, awakening around the world, that people will be saved, millions be saved and turn to Christ, and that the global church will step up and stand up and tell and share the witness they have to make for Jesus Christ in these perilous, troublesome days. In days of hatred, revive us again. In days of anger, revive us again. In days of death, revive us again. In days of frustration, revive us again. In days of peril, revive us again. In days of spiritual drowsiness, revive us again. In days of religious formalism, revive us again. That's what we pray. That's what we must do. There's a famous preacher was on the television this last week. Well, he says, I believe prayer is important, but we need something to do, not just pray. I beg to differ, my preacher brother. All we need to do is pray. And when we truly understand prayer, when we truly recognize the importance of speaking with the living God, we will see what God will do. So these days are a day of challenge for us, and we turn to Daniel chapter 9, to this amazing man of God, this man who walked with God, Daniel. And we'll be looking today primarily at verses 3, 4, and 5, but I'll ask you to keep your copy of God's Word open, and we'll look at Daniel chapter 9. These words help us to understand the importance of prayer and revival. I'd like for you to stand now in honor of the reading of God's Word. And I'll begin reading in verse number 3. So I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek Him by prayer and supplications, with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed and said, Alas, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps covenant and loving kindness for those who love Him and keep His commandments. We have sinned, committed iniquity, acted wickedly, and rebelled, even turning aside from your commandments and ordinances. Heavenly Father, we now ask that you would bless the reading of your word, and may the Holy Spirit of God be our teacher. Will you not revive us again, O Lord, is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. There are many truths that we can draw from Daniel chapter 9. My focus today is this focal truth that God's people must pray as intercessors on behalf of others. God's people must pray as intercessors on behalf of others. What must be done in our day? What is it that we really need to do? We saw it last week. If you were listening to me there, we're glad you're listening. If you can't be with us today, may the Lord bless you. 2 Chronicles 7:14, and my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. What is it that must happen in these days of urgency and trouble and trial? God's people must pray. God's people must stop complaining. God's people must stop belly aching and whining. God's people must start praying. That's what we must do in these days. I'm glad that some of you have awakened from your sleep. Someone said to me today, the other day, well, I didn't realize the world was so bad. Where have you been? Where have you been? In the godlessness of this world, the Lord Jesus came in the perfectness of time. Why did the Lord come? Because you've been seeing it. You've been seeing it boil over. You've been seeing it for months. Fear and dread and anger and terror. Because Jesus is the only answer to the world's needs. And where's the church if my people pray? So I determined today that it would be important for you to see a man who had nothing else that he could give to God, Daniel, but pray. Pray in an exiled country. Pray among the wicked and idolatrous Babylonians and here now at the end of his life, these Chaldeans. You can go back and read your own history about what all they did. But they lived in wickedness and immorality and godlessness and idolatry. And here we find Daniel, this man who is a praying man, one man who prays for those who won't pray. Before I do that, let me ask you a few questions to get you going with me this morning. First of all, when you pray, I'm assuming you pray. When you pray, what's the order of your prayers? Do you pray first for yourself? Or do you pray for others first? You know, the Lord Jesus always prayed for others first. He prayed for himself last. That's the model of our Lord. He wept over Jerusalem. He prayed in John 17 for disciples just like us from all generations until he comes. He prayed on the cross, Father, forgive them. He intercedes now at the right hand of the Father. He always prayed for others first. How do you pray today? Did you get up this morning and pray for yourself and pray for your family and then perhaps that's about all you got to? Do you pray for others? The second question is like it. Have you been burdened these days to pray for those who don't pray? I'm going to say it again. Do you have any desire or burden? What have you been burdened with today that you can't go to Walmart when you want to go? What have you been burdened about? What's been what's the burden that you've had? You've been inconvenienced from your busy schedule, what you want to do? What have you been burdened about these days? You couldn't find the supplies you wanted at the store? What have you been burdened about? Have you ever thought for one second, has God laid on your heart the fact of praying for people who don't pray? And there's a lot of them. The masses of the world do not pray, or if they pray, they pray to idol gods and false gods. Do you have a burden today to pray? I'm asking you, church. We're here as God's people. We have as our first responsibility to pray. Have you felt a burden to pray for those who don't pray? Finally, I ask you this question. Has the Holy Spirit placed a burden, a weight upon you to pray for the church, not just this one, but you should? Not that your will be done in this church, but that God's will be done here. Have you prayed for the global church lately? And have you prayed for the lost nations? You see, what is it that God's placed on you in these days of your great inconvenience? You just waiting to get back to normal? You just waiting so you can go back and do what you used to do? What you used to do wasn't helping you follow Jesus. What you were doing was causing you to compromise your faith. What you were doing was not honoring to God. Now times have changed. The Lord has turned the page. Life's never going to be quite the same. And we're now moments, days, short time until Jesus comes. All of these things done in accordance with God's great plan for the ages. What are you praying about these days? Is it all self-centered or is it centered around God's work in the world and praying for others? Well, Daniel's the example. Daniel could have prayed for himself. But Daniel did not pray for himself, except as we'll see here in just a moment, to confess his sin along with the sin of his people in exile in Babylonian captivity. I don't have time today to give all the history behind Daniel. I'm assuming that most of you know your Bible well enough to know Daniel is one of those exiles of Israel carried off by Babylon because Israel chose to disobey God time and time and time again. They would not hear the preaching of the prophets. They would not hear the warnings of God. They would not see the miracles of God that he had done for them. And so in their stiff-necked rebellion against God, they were judged and hauled off to wicked, idolatrous Babylon. We would call it Iraq. Doesn't look much like it did in those days, but it was the glorious place. The world power of the world was Babylon. So now Daniel, this young Jewish boy, gives 73 years approximately of life ministry in a place beyond Jerusalem, his home. What did he have? What could he do? Well, that's what I want us to consider today. What can you do? What must you do as God's people? Do like Daniel. Do like Daniel. I have four observations from these verses in Daniel chapter 9. Let me put them all up for you. This way you can stay with me, and then I'll make some comments briefly on each of these observations from the text. First of all, I'm going to comment on this from the text. A praying man in a godless world prays for others. I'm going to comment secondly in this, that a praying man intercedes for those who don't pray for themselves. Thirdly, I'm going to mention to you that a praying man confesses his own sin and the sinfulness of others. In this particular case, it is Daniel praying and confessing the sins of backslidden, hard-hearted Israel in captivity. And finally, I want to make briefly the comment and observation of the wonderful truth that God hears the prayers of those who intercede and pray for others who won't pray for themselves. You see, this is the condition of our world today. We live in godlessness. We live in these wicked days. We live in times of trial and trouble. What did our dear friend and our brother, Paul the Apostle, say to us? And now here we are, these thousands of so years later since these words were written, but realize this, church. Realize this in the days of epidemics and pestilence and dread and terror and fear and violence and hatred and anger. Realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. Were you expecting it to get better? Have you misunderstood the Word of God? In the times in which we live closer to the end than the resurrected Lord Jesus and ascended Lord Jesus historically, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. That's the days we live in. You need someone on the news to tell you that? You need someone to inform you of these godless days? Daniel was a praying man in a godless world. And he prayed, I submit to you, more for others than he prayed for himself. Notice his words, the words of God. Verse 3, so I gave my attention to the Lord. There's been a change in leadership. There's a new king, chapter 9, verse 1. Darius is now in charge. The Chaldeans have taken over from the Babylonians. You have to study it yourself. I'm not going to give you all the history. First year of the new king's reign. Daniel worked for them all. He worked for all these godless kings. Through the Babylonians, through the Chaldeans. He is the one who, he was taken out of Jerusalem, never had a chance to grow up there, going to the temple. The temple's in total devastation, stripped of all that it had. Last week we talked about the prayer of Solomon for the dedication of the temple. Now I've run you this many years out, and now the temple is destroyed. And Daniel now, one of these young men, is exiled. A man who sought to live in holiness and separation in godless times. He chose to live for God among the wicked. Have you? Or as a Christian, have you compromised your life? You make the same jokes everybody else makes. You have the same cynicism and attitudes of everybody else around. You've chosen to join right in. A lot of you posted out there electronically. By the way, what you put out there can never be taken back. You can never take it back. It's gone away now. And it'll be there from now on. This man, holy and disciplined in his life, he was a man of prayer. And we read these words, "So I gave my attention to the Lord to seek him by prayer and supplication." Have you given any attention in your life these days to pray? Now, you've been busy about a lot of other things. This church, I've had a lot of information given to me about what people are thinking about these days, what ought to be, what should be, what could be, opinions about what you'd do if you're in charge. Listen, I have some information. You're not in charge. You're not the boss. The Lord is Lord and King and sovereign over all what seems to be chaos in this world today. You see, this man gave his attention to the Lord. What are you giving your attention to? Oh, I've had some this wringing of hands. Oh, Pastor Mike, did you see on the news last night? No, I didn't see it. Sorry. Did you hear, Pastor? No, I didn't hear it. What have you given your attention to these days? You see, you've had the opportunity to improve your prayer life because you've had more time. Have you done it? Have you done it? I'm talking to the church. I'm not speaking to the world. We're praying, revive us again. Good. Then let's start where the Lord started. He said there are three acts of righteousness in the Sermon on the Mount that we're reminded to do. We're to go to our closet, our secret place, and pray alone. By the way, Daniel's praying by himself here. There's no prayer meeting. Daniel's praying all by himself. He's praying. The Lord said, go to your closet, shut your door, and pray to your Father in secret, and your Father who sees you in secret will openly reward you. And then the Lord said, we're to fast. While we read here, I've given my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer, supplication with fasting, sackcloth and ashes. How urgent are these days really to you? Have you bothered to fast any and pray? Well, Pastor Mike, I just got back to the store to get my favorite foods. Yes. Yes. So we can indulge again. So we can go right back to what we used to do and be just as dead and hard-hearted as we were before. Daniel says, I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. He prayed, and the Lord said, you're to give. Those are the three acts of righteousness of a Christian. Praying, private prayer, fasting with prayer, and giving. That's what the Lord said. Daniel practices this. He was a man of God in godless days. He was a man of prayer in a godless world. Let me read to you, and if you have your Bible still open, you can look at it. I'm just going to have you turn there quickly, or I'll just read it. It's in Daniel 6:10. We read these words about Daniel's pattern of prayer. This is the way he lived his life. Daniel 6:10. He entered his house, had windows open toward Jerusalem. He continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before God as he had been doing before. This was the pattern and practice of Daniel, who, by the way, was a very busy government official working for all of these pagan, wicked, godless kings of Chaldea and Babylonia, watching and observing all of their ungodliness. And what did he do? He went three times a day and he prayed. Well, if I can get in a couple of times of prayer this week, that'll be good. What in the world are you thinking? And my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. This is the call of the hour for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. First things first. The first matter is to speak with God, to stand in behalf of those who will not pray for themselves. Daniel was a great man because he was great with God in prayer. And Daniel was persistent in his habit of prayer every day, three times a day, every day. Well, Pastor Mike, that could become just like a habit. Ah, there you go. A good habit for us all. Do you schedule your times to pray? Well, Pastor Mike, you're getting way too detailed about this. We have freedom in grace. That's right. And because of the wonderful grace of God, I pray more, not less. Do you pray? Do you have a time when you meet God? Secondly, a praying man intercedes for those who don't pray for themselves. The vast majority of people in the world today are not praying, and if they're praying, as I said before, they're praying to idol gods or to false gods, or they're praying to themselves. You see, the self-righteous pray to themselves, and the self-sufficient don't pray at all. They don't need anything. They think they have everything they need. Some pray out of desperation because they have some personal want and desire, but prayer is approaching God and speaking to Him about things that need to be done so His will be done, and praying, listen, for people who won't pray for themselves. I submit to you, not only is this true in the church, the vast majority of the church doesn't pray. We play. We play at it. We don't pray. When the early church came together after those first days, they came together in prayer, and the place where they were praying was shaken by the power of God. Well, that's just in the book of Acts, and that's at the beginning. Okay. Yeah. The Holy Spirit is still here among His people. And when they pray, God does unbelievable things through the prayers of His people. But here, Daniel, he's all by himself. He's praying and interceding for those who won't pray for themselves. And he says to us, look in verse 4, I prayed to the Lord. He tells us his prayer. And look at his first words, alas, O Lord. This word alas means, oh now. In this condition I'm in, oh now. Oh, alas now. Alas, O Lord. Notice what he does first. He praises God. He says, alas, O Lord, the great and awesome God. You see, God is great today, even though most people have forgotten that there is or don't even believe there is a God. He is great and He is awesome. Oh God, oh now, oh God, You are the faithful God. You keep Your promises. He says, You're the awesome God. You keep Your covenant and Your loving kindness for those who love Him and keep His commandments. Oh now, God, You are the God of greatness. You are the God of faithfulness. You are the God who keeps Your promises. You are the God of loving kindness. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget none of His benefits. Give thanks to the Lord. Listen, for He is good. His loving kindness endures forever. Is anybody happy to hear that today? God loves us. God cares for the world in the midst of all of its wickedness and ungodliness. And this one here, Daniel, joins in intercession, just as the Lord Jesus is our example of intercession even in heaven today. He prayed with a burden. He prayed in godly sorrow. Oh, alas, O Lord, have you ever prayed with any sorrow? Is prayer to you just like rubbing the genie bottle? You just want, here, Lord, I gotta have this. Oh, someone has misdirected you in understanding what it means to approach God in prayer. I hope our young ones here will learn better from this church what it means to pray. Not bringing some wish list to God as if He is our genie to do our beck and call. No, He prays with godly sorrow. Is there any burden in your life today as you pray? Daniel's praying in this godless world and he's saying, alas, O Lord. Here's the condition, Lord. He prays alone in his burden. There's nobody else here. I prayed, verse 4. I prayed to the Lord my God. Jeremiah 2:13 says, for my people have committed two evils, my people. They have forsaken me. You see, when you don't pray, you've forsaken God. That's right. You've turned back on God. Oh, Pastor Mike, I'm a Christian. Well, why don't you pray? Christians pray. It's the natural response of being born again to pray. My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, the one who is the source of all that God provides to those as we ask Him to help us Give us this day our daily bread. And they have hewn for themselves cisterns that can hold no water. We're making our own way, aren't we? We're going to make our own way. We're going to fix our own way at church. We're going to fix our own way to do it. We're not going to talk to God. We're going to do it all our own way. A praying man intercedes in a godless world for those who aren't praying. And there are many today who aren't praying. They're complaining. They're threatening. They're fighting. They're hating. But they're not praying. Who's going to pray? God's people must pray. We must step forward and say, we will do that job now. We will do the job of prayer. We will speak on behalf of those who will not pray. I'm not going to step back and judge everyone and their motives. I'm not going to question and critique the lost. No. Why are you expecting lost people to act like saved people? This is what amazes me at the church sometimes. You hear people griping about the way people live. They're not saved, dear people. They don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They don't have a new nature. They've not been changed and transformed. Lost people do what lost people do. And they don't pray. They don't care about God. Most don't believe there is a God. Or if they do, they're mad at God because of the way they think He ought to be acting. But God's people quietly go and we pray. We pray, alas, O Lord. A praying man prays in a godless world for those who want for themselves, but also a praying man confesses his own sin in the midst of a godless world and the sinfulness of others. Look at this. I'll run your eyes through it quickly. Just stay with me. Verse 5. Look at all these words. We have sinned. We have sinned. We have sinned. We have committed iniquity. We have acted wickedly. We have rebelled. We have turned aside from your commandments and ordinances. I've asked you this week by week. Are you on fire for God right now, Pastor Mike? We got a lot of hard times going on. I didn't ask about the times. I asked about your spiritual condition. Are you in decline? Are you backslidden? Have you turned away from God? Or are you on fire for God? God's people are at their best when times are the worst. I'm going to say it again. God's people are at their best when times are the worst. So where are you today? Where is your spiritual life? Daniel says, we have sinned. Some of my friends here at First Baptist cross their arms. Now, wait a minute, Pastor Mike. I don't know about all this about us confessing our sin as a church. What are you talking about, my friend? Have you lost your mind? 1 John, what did the Apostle John tell us? If you say you have no sin, you're a liar. And the truth is not in you. We have sinned, First Baptist Church. We have sinned. We have committed iniquity. We have acted wickedly, First Baptist Church. We have rebelled against God, First Baptist Church. We have turned aside from the commandments and ordinances of God. We have sinned. The church has sinned globally. We have sinned, he says. We have sinned. And I want you to see how sad. We've not listened to preaching in the prophets, verse 6. We did not listen to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name. How many times did God say to Isaiah and Daniel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, to Ezekiel, to the minor prophets? By the way, this is what you're going to say to them, but here's the news. They're not going to listen to you. What did the Lord say? Lord, why do you talk to these people with parables? Because hearing, they will not hear. And seeing, they will not see. You see, the vast majority of Christians have already gone back. In these days, we had opportunity to come to God, but we've already gone back to our old ways. And we're so comfortable with those ways, aren't we? They're just like a good old worn pair of breeches. We like them. We feel comfortable. It's all good. We don't have to change. We want everybody else to change to accommodate us. This praying man confesses his sin and the sins of his people. And I say this to you, the sadness in my own life is to know that the vast majority of believers will not hear even what I'm trying to say to this church. Daniel chapter 9, verse 13, as it is written in the law of Moses. This is Daniel now praying and speaking to God. All this calamity has come on us, yet We have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our iniquity and giving attention to your truth. Therefore, the Lord has kept the calamity in store and brought it on us. For the Lord our God is righteous with respect to all his deeds, which he has done, but we have not obeyed his voice. In all of this that has gone on, there's little talk among God's people of repenting. That's why I asked last week, do you believe God sent all of this to discipline his church? I say, yes, he did. But will God's church bow its back and neck again and say, I'm fine the way it is. I'm not coming back to God. I'm going to live as a compromiser, half worldling, half saved. You see, this praying man prayed in a godless world for others. He interceded for those who would not pray for themselves. He confessed his own sin and the sinfulness of others. And guess what? God heard his prayer. He prays these words of appeal to God. Verse 19, O Lord, hear. Look at it. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen. O Lord, take action. Are you praying like that for the world today? Is any of that coming from you? Do you have any kind of burden and desire to pray like that? And what happens? God sends Gabriel. Oh, the angel Gabriel and his assigned duties all through the Word of God. Gabriel now appears and speaks with Daniel. And here's the great blessing, verse 23. At the beginning of your supplications, the command of God was issued. In other words, he answered your prayer. And then we have the most glorious words in the Old Testament coming to tell us about the future, the 70 weeks, and the coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, is all here given to Daniel. You see, God spoke to him in these very real ways, and God heard his prayer. Psalm 116:1 says, I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplications. That's Psalm 116:1. We saw last week, 2 Chronicles 7:14, when God's people do their job in days of pestilence and trouble and trial, then I will hear from heaven. God hears when his people pray. God hears when his people pray. But what is the Lord hearing these days? It sounds like the children of Israel griping, complaining, critiquing leadership, fussing and fighting about things that are non-essential, don't matter, formalism in our religion. Psalm 34:15 is a very, very important. I think of this verse often when I go to pray by myself. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. So when I kneel in that place, when I sit down before God, the eyes of God turn toward me. And what do they see? What does he see in old Mike Miller when I sit down to pray? A man full of pride and arrogance? A man filled with compromise and worldliness and godlessness? Carnality, prayerlessness, and undisciplined spiritual life. What do the eyes of God see when you pray? The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. Listen, his ears are open to their cry. What is God hearing from his people today? What is he hearing? What is it that he hears when we pray? Well, this becomes very important for us as we understand Daniel. A praying man in a godless world prayed for others. A praying man in a godless world was disciplined in his prayer life, and he always prayed, and he confessed his sin and the sinfulness of others, and God heard his prayers. Well, there are several things I want you to remember this morning as we finish up. The application to these words, and I'll just summarize them. Some of what I've already been saying, but I want to try to drive the nail home today. First of all, the righteous in times of ungodliness pray for others first. That's the whole point of what I've been trying to say. I said the righteous pray in ungodly times for other people first. You mean I got to pray for those people? Yeah, those people. Go ahead and finish the sentence. Those people that, you can fill it in. You can fill in what you think those people are. You're supposed to pray for those people. That's our job. That's our mission. That's our purpose. To pray. The righteous in times of ungodliness pray for others. Intercessory prayer is asking, listen, when I intercede for other people who won't pray, I'm asking God to save them, forgive them, and restore them. Whatever needs to be done, that's what I pray for. What did we learn together in Psalm 85, 6? It was the question around which I'm basing these comments and talks to you these days. Will you not revive us again? There's a little sadness in that. Lord, we need revival again. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Every last one of us. Intercessory prayer asks God to save, forgive, and restore those who don't pray. Prayer is asking that God's will be done on the earth. What did the Lord teach us in the Lord's Prayer? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, Pastor Mike, it's out of control. What a great time for God to step in. I'm going to say it again. The world's out of control. What a great time for God to step in and do what only God can do. You see, when you don't want the credit and you let God do what He wants to do, things get done. Things get done. You see, God hears the prayers of the intercessor. And this is probably the saddest note I would mention to you today. I'm laboring to preach as best I can with all my heart. Those of you who know me, you know me. I'm trying to share with you my heart. I love you in Jesus. I'm exhorting you these days because that is my responsibility that God has assigned me, and I'm going to do it. Some of you like it. Some of you don't. What's new? You never liked it. Some of what I did, and you never liked it. I'm never going to please you. That's fine. It doesn't matter. I'm not trying to please you. I'm going to please the Lord. You can do whatever you want with me. Fine. That's good for that. One of the saddest words in all of the Word of God is this. How few people God can find who will pray for others. Did you hear what I just said? What a sad thing it is how few of God's people can God find to pray for anybody else. Ezekiel 22:30. I'll just read it for you. And I sought for a man, a person among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Where were all of God's people? Off complaining because they were in exile. Off complaining because the leadership didn't do it the way they thought that ought to be done. Where were they? Where was just one? I sought for one man, one person, to stand in the gap like Moses had done, like the Lord Jesus does to intercede for you who are saved. He intercedes for you before the Father. He keeps us in that condition of grace and salvation because He is alive as our intercessor. I looked for one to pray and I couldn't find any. What a sad word in the many sad words in the book of Ezekiel. So that's the way we find ourselves today. Will you pray, church, or will you play? That's the question that we must face. So what do I have for you that you should use this week? I call it daily use. Well, several things come from all of this. You pray for other people first. James says, pray for one another. You pray for the world to be saved. You know, in the midst of one of the most controversial sections of the book of Romans, everybody's got an opinion about it, 9, 10, and 11, you have these unbelievable words of Paul the Apostle in a place where it doesn't seem to fit because of what he's talking about. And here he says it, my heart's desire, Romans 10, 1, my heart's desire, my heart's desire. This is Paul the Apostle. Paul, what do you desire? My heart's desire and prayer to God is for them to be saved. Who is it them? The Jewish people. His own people. Do you pray for the world to be saved? How about praying for those who are in government authority around us? What must we do about that? We have a responsibility. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. First of all, I urge entreaties, prayers, petitions, and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men. Wait a minute, I'm not praying for those people. Yo, you better pray for those people. You have a responsibility to pray for everybody. Not the ones you like. Not the ones who say the same things and look like you and act like you. Your buddies. You pray for all people. Every last one of them. You pray for all. You pray for the global humanity in its mass and trouble and pain and sorrow. Lost in darkness, who need a light. You pray for the world and you pray for government leaders going on, for kings and for all in authority, so that we might lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable, listen, in the sight of God. When God sees that you will pray for all men and women, and when you will pray for all authorities, it is good. He sees it and it is good. One last thing. Will you pray for God's people to be revived around the world? I'm going to take just at my time, but I want to read this. This is one of the sweetest verses in Paul's writings, and there are many in 2 Corinthians and in Corinthians. He writes, this church just beat Paul down. This is the church that he wished he hadn't had to fool with. The Corinthian church. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul says something, and there's a verse here you need to mark down that will go right along with what I'm saying here as I conclude about praying for God's people as your most important responsibility. Here's what Paul says. 2 Corinthians 1:8. He reminds these, they didn't have news broadcasts. They didn't have a telephone, an internet, and all the rest, and televisions and radios. Paul's writing them a letter in his desperate condition, and he says, for we do not want you to be unaware, 2 Corinthians 1:8, of our affliction which came to us in Asia. Paul had a hard time in Asia. That we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Look, Paul almost gave up. That's how hard it was. Paul. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and will deliver us, He on whom we have set our hope, and He will deliver us yet. But here's the sweet verse. You also joining in helping us through your prayers. Wait a minute. You joining in helping us through your mission trip. No. You in helping us through sending supplies. No. You joining in helping us through your prayers, so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. There may be someone in heaven someday who comes to you who is from an Islamic background, religious background, and says, thank you for praying. The day you prayed for me, God gave me the strength to stand up and be a witness for Christ, and people were saved. You say, how would I know that? Because you're praying for the world. Because you're praying for somebody besides yourself and yours. You have helped your brothers and sisters in Christ around the world by praying. Well, you give your money. We're also thankful that you joined in helping us through your money. No, through prayer. So today we learn about this godly man, Daniel, who prayed in a godless world for others, who would not pray for themselves, including his own people, and confessed his sin before God, and carried a heavy burden in his prayer life. Why, I pray more of us were burdened. I pray more of us would pray that God would burden us, not just bless us. He carried a burden, and he prayed, and God heard him. Revival comes when we pray. I've attached to this last slide something that I would encourage you to do. It's a place I go when I pray each day and seek to do my part in praying for the world and for Christians, awakening and the lost and the world. It's a website called operationworld.org. If you go there, you'll find on that website, you can go alphabetically to every country in the world. All the details about that, there's a little thumbnail that'll give you of that country. It'll list how many Christians, how many lost people are there, the amount that that country has any kind of witness for Christ, and give you a few highlights in some ways you can pray for that country. You're probably going to be real busy this week. But Daniel says to us, I gave attention. I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek Him by prayer and fasting. And he prayed for his world. I'm not at all expecting that many will hear me, but some will. And some will decide to stand in the gap every day as a part of my prayer routine. I'm not saying this to brag, I'm just trying to testify. I try to go to this website, find my one. I prayed for America, American Samoa today. So you find your place and you pray. And you do your part. You do the responsible thing as God's people. The thing that matters right now more than anything else. May God raise up an army of intercessors in 2020, in this day, in this time of pandemic and dread and fear and terror that seems so magnified beyond the ordinary godlessness of the age, so that we might do our job and say, Lord, we've sinned, but we ask you to do your work in this world. Daniel said, I gave my attention to the Lord to seek him by prayer and supplication. And I prayed, alas, O Lord, we have sinned, committed iniquity, acted wickedly, rebelled, turned aside from your commandments and ordinances. I have done it. You have done it. May God give us the grace to repent of our sins and to pray.